If you are on this earth and you believe in Jesus, we're here to labor for him. We're here to labor for him in our families, according to his will and his word. We're here to labor for him at our work, according to his word. We're here to labor in the midst of good in our goings. We're here to labor in the midst of our serving at church. We're here to serve Jesus in every aspect of our lives.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, the message today reveals some important truths.
Yes, it will, Dave, as we focus on what Paul said, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Okay, well, let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 21 through 26.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We're going to see the Apostle Paul's yielded. He wants Christ to be magnified whether he lives or dies. And this is the mindset underneath that. And if you don't have this mindset, then you're not going to want Christ to be magnified. You're going to want to maybe deal with your circumstances, whatever it might be. But for Paul, for to me, to be living, Christ to die is gain. The reason Paul was alive and the motivation for all he does in life was simply one thing, Christ. And we're going to see in a moment what that means. It's not simply just good feelings about Jesus. To me, it's just to think about Jesus and good feelings. That's not what he's saying. And as I shared last week, I think by looking at the alternatives, we can gain an idea maybe of what he is saying. Think about these statements. For some, to be living is gaining wealth. For some, to be living, getting out of debt, whatever it might be. For some, to be living, seeking pleasure. For some, to live, it is sports or whatever it might be. For some, to live is fame or recognition. That's what they live for. For some, to live, it's work. For some, to live, it's power. For some, to live, it's church. For some to live, it is ministry. For some to live, it is family. For some to live, it is friends. For some to live, it is fellowship. May I posit to you and share, if this is the case with you, you have idols in your heart. And that's why so few experience joy, because we live for other things. This life should be wrapped up in the person of Christ, and as we will see, to do his will. And again, this doesn't mean that we don't love church, fellowship, family, and friends. It doesn't mean we don't work or relax at times. It doesn't mean those things. What it means that in everything we do, we're desiring Christ to be magnified, to be exalted. To live, to be alive on this earth, to breathe and have our hearts beating, is Christ. That's what Paul says. Christ was the living reality for the Apostle Paul. And he did everything he did to magnify him, and that's why he could rejoice no matter what. That's why he could say later on, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Because if you're living for Christ, as we're going to see, no matter what happens, you're not going to lose anything, you only gain. If you're living for Christ, you're not going to lose anything, you're only going to gain. So what do we do if we're not this way and we're tempted to be this way at times, in and out, throughout the day? We're tempted to not think of Christ as the most important thing. We're not to think of Christ. I want to magnify you in my work, Lord God. I want you to be magnified as I work today. I want you to be magnified in my preaching. I want you to be magnified in my conversations with people. I want you to be magnified in how I raise my kids. I want you to be magnified in everything I do. I'm thinking of you as I do them. What if that's not the case? Confess. Lord, this isn't the way it is in my heart, and I confess it. Help me to see you rightly. Help me to magnify you in my heart and thus desire for you to be magnified. We're going to see that when we get a better view of Jesus, a right view of Jesus, and a right view of ourselves, a desire to magnify him, then we're going to see this to be living is Christ, and to die is gain. So at this point now, the Apostle Paul is going to continue to share his heart and really explain what it means to be living Christ. What does it mean in real time for the Apostle Paul? And we're going to see, first of all, his very real dilemma and also his desire. Look at verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, or to be living is Christ, and to die is gain. The context is he may die at the hands of Caesar, or he may be set free. Right? But he knows Christ will be magnified because God will answer prayers and empower him by the Spirit to speak truthfully, and he won't be ashamed to speak of Jesus. And now he gives the options. But if I am going to live on in the flesh, this will mean something. This will mean a lot of work for me. Is that what he means? Possibly. What kind of work? This will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. He's going to begin to give the explanation to the phrase, to live is Christ, or to be living is Christ, to die is gain. And he's going to now explain in that regard two different options for him. And within that, we're going to gain an understanding what it means to live for Christ. And notice he says in the end of verse 22, and I do not know which to choose. Or he says here literally, I don't know what I shall choose. Now, on a cursory reading, we might think that Paul gets the choice. Do I choose to stay on or do I choose to die at the hands of Caesar? That's actually not up to Paul whether he lives or dies. It's not based on his desire. Actually, this is not the case for any believer. We don't choose when we live or die. We don't choose the future of our lives. So what is Paul saying? I think he might be saying it this way. I do not know which I prefer. I don't know which one I really prefer because he's torn. He's hard pressed because one is very much better, but one is very needed because he's living for Christ. He says, I don't know which I prefer, basically. He has a desire to depart with Christ. Hey, that is so much better. And yes, that's true. But yet Paul is a yielded man. Yielded people don't just pick the better thing. Yielded people don't just prefer the better thing. Yielded people are yielded to Christ. He's faced with two possible outcomes before going before Caesar. He's either going to live or die. And each one of them has implications. And as we'll see, he prefers one, yet he is a yielded man. He desires to do God's will, and he loves the Philippians, so he's in the middle. And notice this word in verse 23, but I am hard-pressed from both directions. The term means hemmed in, pressed in. To go to be with the Lord is so much better. But the Philippians need God's work through the Apostle Paul. And he's yielded. And he's willing. So he's in the middle. And I don't know which to choose or prefer. A yielded man to Christ. One is much better, but he doesn't know what to choose. Folks, these two realities are what encompasses every Christian on a daily basis. To live as Christ, to die as gain. That's really the reality for a Christian. So with this in mind, he's going to share these two possibilities, and we're going to gain understanding. You might want to flip in your notes. Number two is going to be number three. Number three is going to be number two there. Just remember that. So with this in mind, let's see what to be living in Christ means. As we see, Paul speaks of necessary, fruitful labor according to his will for their progress, joy, and the faith. Look at verse 22 again. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed in both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. And we'll look at that 23 in a moment. Paul is faced with the reality of death, but he recognized it was very much better. But he recognized remaining for the sake of the Philippians was necessary. And notice in verse 22 that it would mean something. If I stay on in the flesh, it means this. Means fruitful labor for him. You see, if you're a servant of Jesus Christ, we're here to serve Jesus. If you are on this earth and you believe in Jesus, we're here to labor for him. We're here to labor for him in our families, according to his will and his word. We're here to labor for him at our work, according to his word. We're here to labor in the midst of good in our goings. We're here to labor in the midst of our serving at church. We're here to serve Jesus in every aspect of our lives. And Paul knew if he stayed, there would be fruitful labor. He's talking about work or labor that bears fruit as he lives for the will of Christ. This is his desire. And folks, we have been saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is when we abide in Jesus Christ alone that we will produce fruit. Look at John 15. When we start to get it through our head that in raising our kids, in going to work, in our goings, at church, in everything we do, we're serving Jesus, wanting him to be glorified. Things are going to change in our lives. John chapter 15, Lord Jesus shares in the night he is betrayed. Verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean. Now in chapter 13, that speaks of salvation because of the word he has spoken to his disciples. Because of the word which I have spoken to you, abide, remain, rest, trust, right? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the mindset we need to have. We are here on earth to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. To remain means fruitful labor. To die is gain. But unfortunately for many of us, to remain means doing my will rather than his will. This fruitful labor is in his will. There are many passages that speak of the truth of when someone comes to faith. We used to serve sin and death in a sense. The results of that was to live in the context of death. And yet Jesus Christ saved us and we have a great master who loves us. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. This is what the Lord shares through Moses to Israel as they're about to enter the land. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And as you're turning there, you might remember in the beginning of this letter, the Apostle Paul identified himself and Timothy as bondservants of Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear your Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. To serve him with all your heart and soul. We should be serving him when we're raising our kids. This is about serving you, Jesus. This is about serving you at my work. This is about serving you when I come and minister at church. This is about serving you, Lord Jesus. It's about serving you. It's about you being magnified. It's about me obeying. A servant obeys their master. I'm going to obey your word in relationship to my children. I'm going to obey your word in relationship to my work. I'm going to obey your word in relationship to those around me. I'm going to confess when I fail. I'm going to obey your word in relationship to the church and how I'm to function here. Later on, chapter 10, verse 20, you shall serve him and cling to him. Chapter 11, verse 13, it shall come about, you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Chapter 11, 16, beware lest your heart be deceived and you turn away and serve other gods and worship them. To live is acknowledgement from people. To live is getting by. To live is enduring under all this. To live is my job. To live is, those are other gods. To live for a believer should be Christ. And as they were going to the land, the Israelites were challenged by Joshua to serve the Lord in truth and sincerity and put away the gods their fathers had served. Put away those idols of our hearts and choose this day for yourselves whom you will serve. If it is okay with you to do that, otherwise go back and serve those gods. If it is not okay with you. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Samuel shares, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. What about in the church? You see, because when we serve him and obey his word, guess what? He's glorified in the fruit that results. He's glorified in the fruit that results in our children's lives. He's glorified in the fruit that results at our work. He's glorified in the fruit of the relationships we might have as we're going in our going. He's glorified in those things as we use our skills and abilities or the spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. He's glorified. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. That means to serve, work it out. In serving what? One another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now these are the gifts for the body of Christ here. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. That's the word of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength that God supplies. And notice here, so that in all things, God may be what? Glorified through Christ Jesus. If you serve the Lord, raising your kids, depending on Him, abiding in Christ, He's going to be glorified through Christ Jesus. If you serve Him, abiding in Him at your work, relying on Him, He's going to be glorified through Christ Jesus. You serve Him, abiding and remaining in Him in the body of Christ, He's going to be glorified through Christ Jesus. To live is Christ, and to remain on means fruitful labor. Back in our passage. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And then notice down in verse 24, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. There was labor in regards to the Philippians. There was a love. Folks, so many Christians do not understand what it means to live on in the flesh for Christ. To live is to be doing His will for His glory in every area. And if you look down in verse 25, we see some of the results that might come from this. It says in verse 25, and convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for what? Your progress and joy in the faith. Faith in Jesus. If the Lord keeps me here, it's going to be for your benefit that you grow in Jesus. Progress and joy. You see, that's what Paul is about. He says, I'm convinced of this, I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. To live, or to be living, is Christ. Part of that encompasses serving Christ. But don't misunderstand me. It also implies intimacy. It ultimately implies intimacy in that serving, an intimate relationship with Jesus in the context of serving Him. What do we see in Philippians chapter 3? Look at Philippians 3, verse 8. It's not just a mechanical serving of Christ. It's a real relationship with Him in which we're abiding in Him, growing in Him, an intimate relationship with the living God in which we're serving Him. Philippians 3, 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Knowing Him. Growing in a relationship with Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Colossians chapter 3. We see that our lives are hidden in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3. It's all throughout the Word of God, and we need to be reminded because we get distracted very easily. You wonder how John could write in the very last verse of 1 John. He could say, little children, guard yourself from idols. We live for other things than Jesus. Those are idols, by the way. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Why? For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is what? Who is our life, is revealed. To live is Christ. It's a real relationship with Him, which is manifest in obeying Him and loving Him and serving Him. Turn to Galatians 2:20. Some of you know this verse. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And what? The life which I now live in the flesh. To live, to be living, right? The life I now live, what I live, my life that I live on a daily basis. He says here, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God. It's a real relationship with Jesus, trusting and abiding in Him and serving Him. I live by faith in the Son of God who what? Who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. To live is to trust and obey Jesus. To live is Christ. The Apostle Paul was not self-centered or self-focused. He loved and served Christ, which was manifest in his love for the body of Christ and his obedience and desire to serve the Philippians. Back in our passage in Philippians chapter 1, notice down in verse 26, we see the results, and we'll come back to some, and I just want to look at it for a second. And convinced of this, verse 25, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and join the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Now, the NASB is difficult translation here. Other translations are difficult. Some say rejoice. Actually, the word isn't rejoice. It's boasting. It's what it is in the Greek. And so you could say it this way, literally. So that your boasting may abound in Christ Jesus in me. Your boasting in Christ Jesus for what he's doing through me may abound when I come and see you. That Christ may be exalted. That Christ may be magnified when I come to you again. That your boasting may abound in Christ Jesus. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Praise the Lord for what he has done. So I believe he's saying that if he stays in the flesh, it's for their progress and joy in the faith, which will cause boasting in Christ to abound. It's all about Jesus and being magnified. That's what the Christian life is about. And if you don't see the Christian life like that, maybe you're not a Christian or you have forgotten why God saved you. We certainly can be distracted. We certainly do forget. Paul was not preoccupied with life's circumstances. He was preoccupied with Christ. To know him and please him was Paul's chief aim, and this all resulted in the magnification. Is that the same for you? Lord, I want to magnify you in obeying you with my kids. I want to magnify you in obeying you in my work. I want to magnify you in obeying you in the relationships you put me in. I want to magnify you in how I serve. It's about you, and I trust you, and I'm going to abide in you, and I'm going to rest in you because you're faithful. Yet sometimes we can get sidetracked, and that's when we're not joyful, and we need to be reminded so that we can confess and turn to the Lord. Are you sold out for Christ? So many are sold out for Christ right away when they come to faith, and rightfully so, because they see the light. They were in darkness. Now they've been forgiven and saved, but then we can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So living for Christ, Paul shares here, is ultimately that he would be magnified and glorified as we trust and rely, abide, and serve him in everything. With that in mind, back in our passage, what does it mean that to die is gain? What does it mean to die is gain? Verse 22, but if I am to live on the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose, but I am hard pressed, I'm hemmed in from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. You know, Greg, in these final moments of today's program, what's one thing that we can take away from today's message?
Well, Dave, it's simply this. The Apostle Paul understood that to live or to be living is Christ. It's all about Jesus. And as we have seen, Jesus is magnified when we are humbly depending upon him and serving by his strength according to his will in every area of our lives. So many Christians don't understand what it means to live as Christ, but I pray that we are gaining an understanding of that as we continue to look at this incredible passage. So how about you? Do you understand what it means to be living as Christ? That's our desire here at Equipping the Saints, and we pray that you will.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.